Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 145, 8. I want to talk to you. The title of the message today is The Gate. The Gate. Psalm 145, 8. We're going to the gate. Praise the Lord. Let me know when you get there by saying glory. Thank you, Jesus. They're already there. All right. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. If you're full of something, there's no room for anything else. Slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his mercies are over all his works. Now, in these days, church, we're talking about hesed. We're talking about a covenant relationship that we have with God. He has this obligatory love toward us. He wants to love us. He wants to come after us. He wants to protect us. He wants to profit us. He wants to heal us. This is his desire. And hesed means, in the Hebrew, it can be explained. In English, it takes a lot of words. But it's this covenant, obligatory love, loving, tender, mercy, kindness, goodness, love, face-to-face with God. Amen. And church, what we know about this is that when you understand hesed, when you understand covenant, the foundation of your faith is so settled. He's got me. He's got me. When I prayed over everything today, I said, Lord, I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded you're able to keep that which I commit to you. And I commit our property to you. I commit the church buildings to you. I commit the headquarters to you. I commit all of this to you. I commit our people to you. And I believe that he'll keep you because I'm committing that to him. Because I know he wants to take care of us. Amen. And so we have this covenant, and he promised. So what we have to do then is make sure that we're open to receive all of this love and all of these manifestations. What a good day to receive the love of God on Valentine's Day. Amen. Praise the Lord. I hope you're going to have a happy one today. I hope you got, I passed out, the greeters passed out the little dove for you. And if you're not supposed to eat candy, you can give it away. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. So, we, right now, we're living in uncertain times, it feels, don't you think? Sometimes you feel like, well, I don't know. This is different. Now, you're faith people, so you're looking at me like, we don't feel that way. I'm talking about times of uncertainty. Yeah. Not particularly how you feel. Yeah. Let's say it like that. That would be better. So, but we believe the prophets. Yeah. And we believe the Bible. And, you know, then there are conspiracy theories that people get involved in. And what happens in those is they have time limits on them. This is going to happen, and this is going to happen, this is going to happen. And then when they don't happen, it dashes people's hope. And they feel bad. And you know, your hope was dashed on the 6th when they voted, you know, the electoral votes went the way they did. You felt odd about that. Maybe you didn't, but a lot of our people did. Maybe things like that happened to you. And certainly in life, you've come to a place where your hope was dashed at some time. You were like, well, why didn't this happen? I don't feel like God intervened. Well, I want to talk to you today about the perfect response when the answer doesn't seem to come. When the answer doesn't seem to come. The right responses when we're enduring uncertainty. Okay? So, and they're all responses of faith. So, people usually respond in one of two ways when they seek the answer and it doesn't come. And neither one works. Okay? First, they accuse God. And we've all been there. Hey, I've been in the Word of Faith for over 30 years. And the enemy will still try to tempt me to say, Lord, what are you doing? Okay? Of course, I put that down quickly, as you do. But, you know, people will claim, well, God didn't heal them. And, but you know what? The Bible says he heals all diseases. So I'm going to have to go with the Bible. So the truth is now, and this is something big to us because it's been mandatory on my ministry, so it's mandatory on your ministry, that God is really good all the time. He's good all of the time. Amen? And so the devil is bad all of the time. This is when we need to remember, when you're in this uncertainty, you need to remember the difference between the two. Remember being a key word here. Healing, salvation, deliverance, wholeness, provision, joy have already been given to us. They belong to us. Now, they were paid for by Jesus. So we keep that. That needs to be our resolve. But we really kind of find ourselves, like in these uncertain times, it kind of feels like those disciples who couldn't heal that demon-possessed boy. Remember that? They couldn't heal him. And listen, they were the most miracle-experienced people on the earth. They were with Jesus. He was doing miracles every day. They did miracles after he anointed them. And yet they're coming to this place where there's unsure, there's an uncertainty. They hit the wall. They hit a place where they're like, uh-oh, what happened right here? And we've all been there. They came up to a place where they didn't have a solution. And we find ourselves not knowing what tools we need for a certain solution. But I want to give you the answer. And first, the first thing is, there is power resolving in your heart that God is good all the time. And that it is His will to heal and deliver. You resolve it in your heart, not just in your thinking, in your heart. It's a sure thing with you. It does not change despite whatever goes on in the natural. Some things happen and you're kind of like, well, I don't know if God's good. That doesn't look. No, resolve in your heart that God is good. We know that the storms of life come for three reasons. Number one, you make bad decisions. Number two, somebody else make bad decisions. And number three, we live in a dark world. But there are answers to all of that. And one of the things is resolve that God is good. And I'm telling you, church, that if you'll lock down on this, when the time comes, this very truth that God is good will cause the turnaround. It will absolutely happen. And second, I just want you to know that God is a God of vengeance. The devil never has the final say on anything, ever. That beast will be silenced, I'm telling you. And there'll be absolute, complete vindication for every moment of infirmity, addiction, difficulty, torment, and temptation that you have ever experienced. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Now, another thing that happens with people is grief. Grief separates people from God because they have questions with no answers. Grief, it just does that. But listen, questions are allowed in the kingdom. They're allowed in the kingdom. But lack of answers must not interrupt our communication with God. That's the key to it. You know, if we demand answers from God, we're walking in a spirit of offense. I'm not talking about just death here. I understand that there's a process with death. And certainly you don't want to get over into grief being loyal to it. I get a lot of pushback from that, as you all know. Pastor Nancy and Brother Copeland have too. But I'm telling you, there's a difference. I'm not talking about not crying and missing people and feeling bad about it. I'm talking about not being loyal to that. But what I'm talking about is that grief that you lost money. That grief that you lost this, that grief that this didn't happen, that didn't happen. You get into grief and then you don't have any answers and you get stuck in this uncertainty place. Well, why did that happen? We prayed. But you have to resolve in your heart what we already talked about. God is good and there will be vindication.
Yeah.
Amen. The answer is to run to Him even if you feel offended. Your answer is on the other side of the offense. Getting through the difficulty without becoming defiant or demanding with God. It'll take us into the very thing that God promised. You just, okay, I don't understand this, Lord. Sure didn't turn out like I wanted it to at this moment, but I'm not giving up. I think we could all say this about this past season. What? We didn't think it was going to turn out like this. But it's not over.
Amen.
God's not on our time schedule. Yeah. He's working through it.
Yes.
This is only one chapter. There'll be an end to this.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you for it, Lord. We'll have some good resolve. We'll have some vindication.
Amen.
Amen. In the meantime, we'll live in Psalm 91. Glory to God. We'll be the Goshen people. We'll be all right. Thank you, Jesus, for that. Listen, all Christians, not all Christians, I'm sorry, some Christians fall into deception when the answer they seek doesn't come. And let me put it to you like this. Suffering referred to in the Bible. Let's talk about that just for a minute. Suffering means living between two conflicting realities, but you trust God and praise Him through the whole thing. It looks like, well, I didn't sign up for this. Right? Yet you still praise God. You still resolve that He's good. You still stick with that. Anybody can declare God's greatness when they win the Reader's Digest sweepstakes. Yeah, praise the Lord. Glory to God. But when you live in the middle of a conflict, of having a promise not yet fulfilled or a problem that seems to never get resolved, you rise above those circumstances and declare that He is good all the time. Resolve in your heart that He is good. Declare with your words that He is good. And resolve in your heart that God is a God of vengeance and that He'll see you through to the victory. Amen. Now, why we have to endure uncertainty is kind of a mystery to us, since everything's already done and we're in the winning slot, and amen. But it happens. But the Bible gives us a big hint, a big, big hint on how to answer this, which I believe is the major answer, and I'm going to tell it to you right now. I'm going to read to you Psalm 100, verse 4. Excuse me. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. Amen. See that? Let's read it together. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise, and be thankful to Him and bless His name. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah 62, we see this picture of it's a spiritual picture of a city called the Community of the Redeemed. Let me just read some of this to you. This is Isaiah 62:10. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up the highway. Gather out the stones. Lift up a standard for the people. Excuse me. Behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. Behold, His reward is with Him, and His work before Him. Verse 12, and they shall call on Him, the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and thou shalt be called, sought out, a city not forsaken. Now, not forsaken, that's us. Now, here's Isaiah 60:18. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction, boy, we like that one, within thy borders. But thou shalt call thy walls salvation and thy gates praise. A gate of praise. Now we see in Revelation 21:21, we see that gate of praise again. And it's made of one big pearl. Glory to God, that's a big pearl. Listen, when we're struck with conflict and uncertainty and yet we praise Him without manipulation, okay, it's a sacrifice. In that moment, a gate is formed. Okay? In that very moment, a gate is formed. It's a place of entrance where the King of Glory can invade our situation. So right when you praise the Lord, no matter what's going on, Lord, I praise You. Look at this, but I praise You. Instead of damning something or fussing or saying words out of your mouth that you wouldn't carry in your hand. You praise God. You praise God. Well, Lord, I just praise you. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you. And mean it. Then that gate will open and God can begin to work. See, we shut him out with the negative words. And we move further away from what we're wanting to happen. I can't believe this happened. Blah, 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 blah. That just puts you further away from him breaking through. But when you say, you know what, Lord, I praise you. I just praise you. Thank you, Jesus. I praise you and I give you glory today. Thank you, Lord. So many people have no goat because, no gate. They don't have a goat either. That might be a good thing. They don't have the gate because they won't praise him in the middle of that apparent paradox. See? I mean, it's looking like, well, this doesn't look like God is good. But I know he is. So I'm going to praise him. So they get stuck and they get fussy. How can God promise to heal all of my diseases and I have one, they'll say. How can he promise provision and I've been without work for 5 months? But that doesn't help anything, does it? See, Psalm 87:2 says, the Lord loveth the gates of Zion more than all the dwellings of Jacob. He's wanting to come through that gate. The gate is formed when we move above human explanation and into a place of trust. When you start praising God, you're trusting, and that's faith. No, Lord, it doesn't matter how it looked. I'm going to praise you. I'm just going to praise you. This is your answer, church. This is absolutely your answer. When you find yourself in uncertain time, you can create a gate of praise by lifting your heart and lifting your voice to God. Persistently pursue fellowship with God. Even though your uncertain feelings, you know, it feels endless. It feels like you're not going to get where you want to go. And your answers are just not materializing. No, Lord, I just praise you. I know it's not you. It's either something I'm doing or it's the enemy and we just haven't broken through. But I know it's not you. You're on my side. I'm not going to blame you. Amen. When you do that, the suffering will be just for a moment, and then God's grand plan is going to break through into your life. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Better times are on the way, church. Amen. He's absolutely assured us of that. So open the gate. Resolve that God is good. Resolve that he's good. Resolve that he'll have his vindication. He will. He absolutely will. And then open that gate of praise and let heaven invade the situation. Do you approve of this word today? Yes. Praise the Lord. Lord, we love you and we bless you. We thank you for all that you've done. We praise you right now. We praise you in the midst of this season that is extremely different. For a whole year different. But Lord, we praise you because we know you have our back. You're not going to leave us. You're not going to forsake us. You'll always take care of us. We believe that and we give you glory, glory, glory. We praise you, Most High God. Lord, you're the object of our best affection. We adore you. We love you. We thank you for all that you've done.